Thank you, choir, for that message of peace. Let us pray. Father God, we do ask for peace for all of those who are in turmoil. We know that precious in your sight is the death of one of your holy ones. We wish peace this morning for the family of Dewey Henson. Lord, in your mercy, hold his family close to you and to one another. And may your church on earth surround with love, the love of heaven, him and all of those who loved him. We also wish peace to all who in this pandemic have a loved one to die or even to heal, for both cause great pain and tension. We bless your, ask you to bless with peace all of those who serve the bodies and pray for the souls of those who are risking their life to share your love. Peace be on all who suffer not physically from the disease, but in heart and mind and in physical security, who fear for sustenance, for job, for home, for continued education. Give peace, hope, and surety to know your grace. And give us, who may serve, who may help, who may cheer one another, give us means and opportunity that we may keep love alive in the face of fear and be your messengers of peace. Amen. Our scripture lesson for the morning comes from the Gospel of John, John 14. It's nearing the end of Jesus' ministry, and he's preparing his disciples to go on beyond him. And he says this in John 14, beginning at verse 15, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are the ones who love me, and those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, the title of this sermon is Family Tradition, and I take that title from a song by Hank Williams Jr., old Bo Cephas himself, who sings to explain his curious behavior, his hard partying, his rowdy boy reputation. He attributes it to his fathers in a song that says, "If I get stoned and sing all night long, it's just a family tradition." Well, every family has traditions, usually handed down characteristics, things we cling to and are proud of, that give us a warm, fuzzy memory of the family who went before us, granddad's pocket watch in our jean pocket, grandma's recipes on the holiday table, those things we carry with us to remind us of our rich history. Similar to habits, but different. Habits are those things that we do repeatedly with little or no thought given. It's easier to develop a bad habit than a good habit, I'm told, and I know that to be true in my own life because habits are very often taken up without thinking. The bad ones develop more quickly than the good ones because we slip into bad habits through carelessness, lacking structure in life, say such a time as a lockdown and you're all sheltering in. We begin to sleep in. We bathe less. We don't cut our hair, and we get a little lax. We snack more and watch more TV and become more sedate and sitting down than getting up and getting active. It's easy to slip into bad habits. If you have good habits, if your sleep and your diet and your exercise regimen, if you read regularly and study and are meticulous about planning, if those are good habits you have, it's probably because at one point or another, it was intentionally put into you. Either you or a parent or a teacher or a coach or someone influential in your life taught you to become methodical in your practice. That's how Methodists got their name. It was actually a slur name, a teasing nickname. Oh, you Methodists, do everything by method. And they did. They had times for praying and times for reading, and they went through a daily regimen to keep themselves holy in what they called themselves the Holy Club, but were teased about being Methodists until they said, yeah, we are that. We'll take that title. Action is just habit unless it's intentional. If it is intentional, it is more likely to remain, even a good habit can be easily dissolved and replaced with a bad one if we forget to be intentional. Many fear, and I've heard this said and I've seen it written, that this long suspension of regular worship is going to dissolve our Sunday habit of church going. The people are going to get lazy and used to sitting around home and watching TV church and not bothering to get out. Well, a long trend of slipping indicates that could be true, because that has been happening over the last generation. But denial of the ability to go to church might reinvigorate intention. Time will tell. When we're told we can't go to church, maybe we'll want to go to church all the more. And maybe when it's possible, we'll see an increase rather than a decrease. But it will have to be an intention. You'll have to decide to get up and go to church. You'll have to decide that that's important to you, that you want to hold on to that, to make it a tradition. If habits are unconsidered patterns of repeated action, traditions are the intentional holding up the things we want to keep. Things that give life meaning, things that define us in the way we desire to be defined, things that shape our lives to be better. I wonder if Hank and his song may be more an exercise in excuse-making, even blame-laying. I did read this recently, that there were two brothers whose lives were as different as could be. One was a fall-down drunk with no accomplishments, could never get anything going, failed after one thing and another, while his brother was a self-made businessman, an achiever, somebody who rose up through the ranks of society. And if you asked either of them why they turned out the way they did, they would give the same answer. My father was an alcoholic. One just accepted that and followed in place, laying the blame and on the father's bad habits for his own. The other made an intentional choice to be different, to find that new normal, what the current phrase is, new normal. You know, there is no new normal, and there won't be one for a while. Normal is what becomes a trend over time. It takes time to define normal. I do know this, that everyone's normal is shaped by the experience that is regular and expected. When my wife and I were foster parents, we learned there was a wide variety of normals. Every child came to us from some other family, came with their own set of expectations and ways of doing things based on the way they did in their family. Some of them were quite detrimental. Some of them were just unconsidered thoughts. Every single foster child we took in was surprised that we all sat down to dinner together at the end of the day. And truthfully, that had been a habit for both me and my wife, for that's the way we were raised, with a family dinner at the dinner table at the end of the day. But once we recognized that it gave us shape and dimension and solidity and form, something that these children we took in did not have, well, then it became intentional. No longer a habit. We made a point of eating together. Family dinner is family bonding time. It's calming after a day of busyness. It's a time for sharing information and formation. And we hope that it gave the kids who entered our home a new perspective too. Maybe a new insight into the life possibilities that they could have if they decided to when they went on. But they will have to decide to do it, to make it a habit, and to hand it down to make it a tradition. Traditions are the things from the past that worked, that are worth repeating into our present and to offer down to our future. So central to our own lives that they define us, both to ourselves and to others. I am proud to be a part of a family that does whatever, fill in the blank. Where's all this going? Well, to Scripture, of course. Because we are a people shaped by Scripture. And here's what John says about how we live in the family of God. Jesus says, "You love me, and you keep my commandments." Now, he doesn't say that in a wheedling way that a boyfriend or girlfriend or perhaps even a new spouse says, "Well, if you loved me, you would." No, Jesus doesn't beg for you to do what pleases him. He says, "You do love me, and you will keep my commandments," because that's what we do. That's who we are. And what are Jesus' commandments? Well, every time Jesus mentions the word command, it's always attached to the word love. When asked what the great commandment was, he says, "Love God first and love your neighbor as yourself." And then he goes on to tell his disciples to love your enemies and to love as I have loved you. We are a people that love like Christ. And if we love him and reflect his love, then even when he is no longer around, God will send another to speak love into our hearts and remind us, this is what you came to, this is what you came from, this is who you are. The voice of love will abide with us and in us, keeping us able to live intentionally as loving people who see the loving Christ and will live to love in God, in Christ, in the Spirit. Having the love commands, we have to intentionally keep the love commands, loving others. And when Jesus says, "You love God and you love me, so I will love you, and he loves me and we love you," and well, it's just a family tradition. It's how we are family in Christ. Now, when we come together in worship, and we will come together in worship, folks, we will. We do those things that remind us of our tradition, like putting grandma's recipes on the holiday dinner table, remind us of who we are and what we came from. We do the things that remind us of the love of God. We sing the songs. I just posted recently asking my fellow church folks to name the hymns that give you shape and that you love. And I wasn't surprised at all to find the ones that were offered back. The songs that people come immediately to mind, think, "These are the ones I love to sing when I am in worship," or "How Great Thou Art," and "Great Is Thy Faithfulness." And we consider that great faithfulness of God. We respond with, "My faith looks up to Thee," and "Amazing Grace." And "Oh, how I love Jesus." And then, "Because he lives, I can face tomorrow." Because you see, this love that God has shed over us and shed into us and lives on through us and makes us want to continue in that love. We want to meet him in the garden of prayer. And when we do, we find peace and know that it is well with our soul. And so it's only natural that having found that great peace being with Christ, we want to respond with love and joy. And so we say, O Lord, be thou my vision. I have this blessed assurance and I want to share it. And so send me, Lord. Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I will go with you. We have a faith to serve others because the faithfulness of our fathers has been carried down to us. So we sing the songs and we recite the creeds, which remind us of the things we believe. We believe in God and in Jesus Christ and in the Holy Spirit. And we sing the Gloria Patri. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Ghost. And we sing the doxology, praise God from whom all blessings flow. These remind us of who we are and why we worship God. Now, when we meet again as church, we will certainly have to change some of our habits. Habits in timekeeping and in space management. Habits we enjoyed, we may have to give up. But if we keep the traditions that refine us and define us, we can make new habits. We can change how we do church, but we cannot change how we are formed in the likeness of Christ. We are changed by love to love God back and to love forward into the world and to love widely and to love without ceasing. For love is our family tradition. Love has formed us and freed us and filled us and refined us and defined us. And now it is our family tradition to go into the world loving others and shedding that peace abroad. So go in peace, my friends, loving well and remembering it is because God first loved us that we are able to love at all. Go in peace. Amen.